Well, that was pentatonics. The people listening by podcast are going to be wondering, were they on stage? We're going to tell them yes. That's good. Well, are you excited about Christmas? Boy, I am. I absolutely love it. I adore Christmas time. I look forward to the Harvest Festival every year here at Abundant Life. It's really the biggest outreach we do through the year. About 800 people come through the doors every year at Harvest Festival. As soon as we sweep up the hay, get the chairs back in place, I go in my office and I find Christmas music and I start to play it. Lori says, you're going to miss out on Thanksgiving. No, I'm not. It just gives me so much more to be thankful for. And there's something about Christmas that just brings out the absolute best in people. You know, you can know mean people, and Christmas time seems to make them a little bit kinder, a little bit gentler. And I believe in the spirit of Christmas. I really do. And I think it should last all year long. There's so much of it, it's got to last longer than just a month. It should carry us all year long. Now, there are some people who don't believe in that. They live in a place of disbelief and skepticism. And they see goodwill sometimes as commercialism and greed. But the bigger picture is this. The spirit of Christmas is so alive that it boosts the economy and gives people jobs. There is nothing wrong with that. People live a little bit better. People who couldn't find a job, you can find a job at Christmas because they seem to open up. So, however, some people need to authenticate the Christmas spirit. And they need to know that it's real and that it is alive. And before the end of this service in 20 minutes, I hope to prove to you to authenticate that the spirit of Christmas is alive and real. Amen? Amen. Well, the word authenticate means to prove or to show to be true or genuine. Especially if it's a claim of a word that somebody's spoken or if it's a piece of artwork. A good example of this is my son, Grayson. He bought him a car. After 4.5 years, he finally bought a car that he thought he would really like. And it's a 1964 and a half Ford Mustang. Oh, it's a car. You know, the best thing about it is saying it. It's a 1964 and a half Ford Mustang. Needs a lot of work. You know why? Because it's a 1964 and a half Ford Mustang. It's older than I am. But it runs good. It sounds really good. You know, it's got to have a little bit of body work on it. And we were told when we bought it that the engine in that car is the original engine that came with that car. What model? What kind of engine is that, Richard? You know, like a 302. There you go. So, we had a guy who knows classic cars and stuff, and he was over there. We didn't ask him to come or anything. He just seen the car. You know, that car draws attention. You can be sitting in the gas line. People want to know about that car. It was just sitting in a friend's yard. And this guy came up, and he says, man, I redo these cars here. And the man that the car was sitting in his yard, he said, well, is that the original engine? He went over there. He looked at the serial number on that engine. He says, oh, my goodness, this is the original engine. This was like the first ones they made. He authenticated that engine. He validated it. He verified that this is the real deal. People do that all the time. We do it with news. We do it with art. We do it with literary works. We always want to validate. We want to be validated ourselves. We do. We want somebody to go, you know what? You are a good man. You are a good lady. Aliana, you are the daughter of God. You're made in His image. That's validation. And authentication is found all in the Christmas story. And that's what I want to talk to you just a little bit about this morning. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to start in Luke 1. And I'm just going to tell you the story. You can go home and you can read it for yourself, because I told Pastor Carl I was going to preach in 15 minutes. I said, I've got a busy day today. It's going to last till about 10 o'clock tonight. And it started about 4:30 this morning. But the story starts out like this. There was a guy named Zechariah, and his wife's name was Elizabeth. Now, Zacharias was a priest. And he was an older gentleman, as was his wife. And they were found to be righteous in the eyes of God. They were in right standing with God. But they did not have a son. And Zechariah wanted a boy. And so he prayed, Lord, give me a son. I want a son. And it came time for Zechariah to go down to the church and do his priestly duties. And he was inside the temple there, doing his priestly duties, lighting the incense, and the people were on the outside, and they were praying. And all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him. How many of you have ever had an angel of the Lord appearing unto you? You know? But an angel appeared unto him. He said, listen, I have been in with God himself, and he has heard your prayer. And he is going to give you a son. And you're to name him John. Now, I don't know about you, but I would think if an angel appeared unto me and said that God has heard what I have been praying and then told me what I have been praying, I think I would believe that. Do you know what old Zach did? He didn't believe it. He said, how can that be? Because my wife is old. Well, you're old too, Zach. You're old too. And so you know what the angel did? The angel did this. He said, I'm going to authenticate this word to you. He said, and to authenticate means to show you something over here, to prove something over here. I'm going to authenticate this word to you. Zechariah said this in Luke 1:18. He said, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. He was kind. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I have been to speak to you and I tell you the good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day all of this happens. So I'm going to show you that my word's true. Boom. You won't talk anymore. Talk about lockjaw. He had heavenly lockjaw. So when he came out, not only could he praise God, he couldn't speak doubt and unbelief anymore either. He couldn't. And I don't know when Elizabeth got pregnant, but I know that man didn't talk for about 9 months. And wife, some of you would say, yeah. Lori probably would say, well, sometimes I just wish Steve would be quiet a couple hours. You know? He validated that story. The same thing happened with Mary. If you'll look on over in verse 26 of chapter 1, Mary, sweet Mary, the mother of Jesus, an angel came to her and told her, he said, Mary, you have found favor in the eyes of God. And I am here to tell you, Mary, that you are going to give birth to the Son of the living God. Now, Mary did not doubt, but she did have a question. She says, well, how will that be when I am still a virgin? Here comes the authentication, the validation. The angel said, let me find it here. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Here's the validation. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. And I tell you, Zach's been quiet for a little while. And then he goes on to say, for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done unto me as you have said. And then Mary got ready and hurried to the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And here it comes. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why I am so favored that the mother of the Lord shall come here. All of a sudden, it authenticated what was going on in Mary. You are having the baby. The baby inside of Elizabeth, John, who was Jesus' cousin, leaped. He was to be filled with the Holy Ghost in his birth. The Holy Spirit, he recognized the God in Mary and leaped with joy. And then we have the shepherd, that grungy group of guys that hang out on the hillside and watch their little shedding sheep all over the place. And try to keep up with them. Out in the middle, I remember what it was like, Chris, to work at 2 o'clock in the morning. My head was nodding at 2 in the morning. It was rough. It was rough. And these shepherds were out there. And all of a sudden, an angel appeared. You know, Christmas time is a season of signs and wonders and miracles. And an angel appeared unto them and said, fear not. Do you know why he said fear not? Because they were afraid. I would have been too. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. For unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior. And they did not have time to say, how will we know this? They didn't have time to say that because the angel followed up and said, this will be a sign unto you. Here's your sign. Bill Engvall was not the first person to come up with, here's your sign. The angels of heaven was, here's your sign. Here's your sign. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling. Authentic. You will know it's authentic. You will know it's real because you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Do you know what they did? They got up and they hurried to town. And I don't know of any other birth announcement that night mentioning another baby born in a barn. Not one. Not read about it, not heard about it. But there was something special about that little baby born in that barn that night. And when they got there that night, they were in the presence of the personification of grace. And they left changed. It said they left singing and shouting and praising God. Now, we don't even know what that sounds like. It was loud. They were ringing through the streets. One commentary I read, it was like the last inning of a football game, and it's tied to tied, and both sides are standing up, cheering as loud as they could. It reminded me of my house. When me and Lori was watching the Army-Navy game, did you watch it? That was a great game. I was standing up. I was wanting my team to hear me. I was screaming through the TV. It was good. But that's the kind of noise these guys were making as they left. Grace changed their life. And that grace, that baby that was born, Jesus, had enough power in him to bring the dead back to life. He had enough power in him to heal the sick. He had enough power in him to forgive every sin that had ever been committed, that will ever be committed. And it was all resting in that manger that night. It really was heaven on earth. Heaven came down to earth in the form of Jesus Christ. And he was there that night. And those shepherds experienced that. You know, when we come into contact with God's grace, it changes us. It takes away all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of our hatred, all of our anger, all of our bitterness, and it replaces it with God's love. And if we will allow that love to grow inside of us, my goodness, it will change the world. And you say, well, I'm not going to reach out to the world. It will change the world you live in. It will change the people you come in contact with. Do you know that scientists are reporting now that Christmas lights and Christmas decorations make people happy? I just read that article. Isn't that crazy? I knew that. I mean, I didn't. I knew that Christmas lights make people happy. Christmas decorations make people happy. I knew it. But now it's been authenticated by scientists. They have said it. They wrote it in the Huffington Post? Yeah, it's there. You can Google it on the interweb. It's there. Interweb. In my world. It's my world, Chris. So, anyway, Christmas time shifts our focus from ourselves to others. Have you noticed that? You know what you did this year as a congregation? Blew my mind. It really did. Blew Carl's mind, too. Elizabeth came to us and said, there's 40 kids in Darlington that are not going to have food this Christmas for 2 weeks. They're literally hungry. It was validated. It was the truth. She said, what do you think about me getting some of my friends together, and we'll just get food for these children? And I said, that's awesome. I said, do you mind if we get in on the blessing at the church? He said, no. Well, Pastor Cross said, you think we can get it done by Thanksgiving? And this was at the beginning of November. And I said, well, sure, I think we could come up with 80 bags of food for, 40 children. We can do that in about 4 weeks. No problem. Guys, it took you 3 days. It took 3 days, and we got 120 bags of food. And we delivered it over there last week, and it literally filled the floor of an entire classroom. It was so much food, we had to move it from one room to another room. And all those little children are going to have food for 2 weeks. And it took them 3 days. The bags were so big, it took them 3 days to carry their food home. What a blessing. But that it goes on. Somebody had the idea that, we just want to bring canned goods. We didn't ask for this. We didn't ask for this. And next thing I know, I get a call and say, can you run down to the Dollar General? We've got food for you. Literally, it was a truckload of food. And before the end of the week, there were 3 truckloads of food sitting in the foyer. You could see it. And it's going to feed 128 people for 2 weeks during the Christmas season. Amazing. 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 Christmas shifts our focus to other people. I randomly ask people to tell me in one word, just in one word, what are you seeing in others this Christmas? And here are some of the words that I got. People are kinder. Ephesians 4:31-32 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. People are friendlier. 1 Peter 4:9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. People are more caring. Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. I encourage you to keep encouraging one another and keep building people up. You know what that costs? Nothing. It's free to you. You can do it. It doesn't cost you anything. Just, hey, you can be friendly, kind, and caring, and don't have to spend a penny. People are more given. In Acts 20:35, it said it's more blessed to give than to receive. People are more loving. So I was told the word kinder, friendlier, caring, giving, and loving. 1 John 4:7-8 says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. 1 Peter 4:8 said, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude. the love of Christ, the love of Christ covered all my sins. And that same love in me should make it easier for me to give others whenever I'm slighted. And it should make it easier for me to go to someone whenever I've hurt them and say, please forgive me. It's that love that's inside of each of us. So, in closing, 18 and a half minutes. If you still have a problem believing that the spirit of Christmas is not a lie, then change the filters you're looking through, because they're not right. Now, I am a shopper. I don't like to buy my stuff from Google. I don't like it at all. I like to go touch it, pull it out of somebody else's hands if I have to, put it in my buggy. You know, and all of this is done in kindness and love. Run down to the shopping right there where you pay for it. And pay for my stuff, go home and wrap it. Lori and I, yes, we do. Well, I try to wrap stuff. She just, Lori, I want to tell you like Chris, this is my world. I see myself wrapping stuff, darling. I do. I'm going to wrap your present. I am. Call me out up on Sunday morning. Listen, we were at the Old Navy. You know what the Old Navy is? Well, we was there, and in line with us was an old biddy. Do you know what that is? She was. She was nasty. I'm sorry. She was just nasty. They had changed the way that they were receiving money. You know, usually you go up front and you swipe a card and you leave. Or, you know, well, that is not how they were doing it at the Tanger Outlet at Myrtle Beach. The day we got there, they said, this is a new policy. We only take cash here in this line. Well, I don't know too many people that shop with cash anymore. And said, if you want to pay with a card, you have to go over to that lady there. Well, I thought what she was doing was pricing stuff, hanging it on the shelf. She didn't even have a cash register. All she had was a little table like this right here and a hand thingy that she did not know how to work. She honestly did not know how to work it. So we gave our stuff, and she swiped our card. And then she swiped our card. And then she swiped our card. I was thinking, my God, is she charging me every time she swipes that card? I mean, what I bought was only $15, but we were up to about $115 now. It's like, stop swiping my card. But before that, bless her heart, she said, this is my first day of doing this. I told him I did not want to do this. I don't know how to do this. I don't think I'm going to be able to learn it. I'm going, not that hard. You know? But the lady in line with us, she was stomping just like that, and you could tell she is upset. Why are you so upset? All you're getting is a sweater. It's not that big a deal. Take it's okay. And she was upsetting the other little lady, and she was starting to, you know. So the first lady that was so mad, she took her stuff. She walked over there to the other lady, and she said, I would like to pay for this. Well, I only take cash. I do not have cash. Well, you have to stand in that line over there. Now, these ladies did not make those decisions. They were told to do this. But I do not want it. Slung it. I said, there's about to be a fight up in here. I said, I'm picking my side. I'm going with the girl on the other side of the counter. Because somebody's about to get their rump cut up in here. So I was watching that attitude kind of rub off on that other lady standing beside us. And I said, Lord, let's be kind to her. Because I was not wanting to be kind. I was fighting within me, not at these ladies, but at these mean people wanting to buy their stuff. And do you know, within 5 minutes, we had taught that lady down. She was about to jump. She was standing on the edge about to jump, full of anger and bitterness. But me and Lori taught her right down, just calmed her right down. Why don't you go ahead of us? Well, you only have like 2 or 3 things. I know, but you got a whole buggy full. Just go ahead of us. We don't mind waiting another 45 minutes. Go ahead. But you know what? before that lady walked out that door, Merry Christmas. Y'all have a Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for your help to that lady that didn't know what she was doing. You know, it makes a difference because I had to let the light shine through me. And it was fighting to shine, but it shined. It shone through. It shone through. And then we were at at the Belks in Magnolia Mall. We were looking for one thing. One thing and one thing only. I found it in 30 seconds. Guys can do that. I walked up to the thing. I said, this looks like it'll fit. This is it. And I walked over here. I said, I'm ready to pay for this. The girl goes, Merry Christmas. I said, Merry Christmas. But Lori says, I got a better deal. If I buy one of these, I get two of these free. I said, but we don't need none of those. We just need this one thing right here, Lori. Only thing we need is this one thing right here. Yeah, but for $10 more, I can get all of this. I don't want all of that. I don't need all of that. So literally for an hour, it took me 30 seconds for an hour, we walked around this section, we walked around that section, and we walked around. She called it quality time. She was not holding my hand. She wasn't holding my hand shopping. And I had this is the truth. I had already gotten in that line 3 times and got all the way up to the girl just to be told, wait a minute, I found something else. And I would quietly and nicely go, I'm going to go back to the back of the line now. And I would walk back to the back of the line and stand there until I got back up to the front line. Done it 3 times. And that is not a lie. That is the truth. But you know, after we got all that stuff we bought, because we did wind up buying 3. Or we bought 1 and got 2 for free. You know that they really charged us for all 3, though. You know, it's just wording, you know. Yep. But whenever the girl finished, it just blessed my heart so much. She looked at me smiling. She was pregnant. She said, Merry Christmas. I mean, that done something. It just filled my heart with warmth. Merry Christmas. I said, yeah, Merry Christmas to you too. As I took my bag to the car. An hour and a half later. But I can tell you guys, I have seen more love, more goodness, more self-control, more gentleness, more patience, more peace, and more joy. Lots more joy. And people being kind to one another this year than I have seen in a long time. Do you know what love, goodness, self-control, gentleness, patience, peace, joy, and kindness are? The fruit of the Spirit. Whose Spirit? God's Spirit. That is not from the enemy. That is from God. That is from God. You can find them in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So I'm here to tell you, to validate, to authenticate, that the Christmas Spirit is alive and well in 2017. And it should last us all year long. We should be more loving in 2018, sharing more goodness. We should have more self-control, more gentleness, be more patient, have more peace, and be filled with more joy and kindness than ever before. Amen? If you would, stand with me, please.